the parables and the stories more important than the miracle? What are you getting at? Well, nothing in particular, just wondering, you know, why all the red ink for his speeches when he was really famous for what he did? Oh, and famous for who he was. Well, then change the order. Meaning what? Well, give me one that prints all the things that Jesus did in red. There is no such Bible. Well, why not? She said. I hope you didn't come to hear me. I hope you came to see me, too. And I hope you didn't just come to see me, but to hear Carol and see Carol and hear Meredith and see Meredith and hear Greg and hear him and see him and feel him. Someone said last week, I finally figured out that you don't come to brokering sessions to hear him, you come to do him. And I don't mean to do him, but you come away doing. And that's all right. I hope it's even more than that. That all your senses really are part of your language. That all of your senses are part of your language. Tomorrow morning we're going to have not an eye opener, only we're going to have an ear and eye opener. I thought an ear, eye, and nose opener. That sounded so medical that we struck the word nose. It could be ear, eye, nose, and touch opener. And that's probably also limited. Some people wonder if I'm ordained. I am, and was parish pastor for 10 years in three cities, New York City, San Antonio, Texas, and Pittsburgh. 1960, came to the American Lutheran Church headquarters, the national office in Minneapolis, and was concept designer, that's not artist, concept designer for curriculum materials. And that in turn led to writing, script writing for writers of educational materials. And did that for 12, 13 years. And now I have a tent ministry. That's kind of an abstract word because I don't know how to pitch a tent. But tent ministry means I contract. And I contract with parishes and towns of parishes and industry, two seminaries, some colleges, etc. Wherever they need what I've got and I need what they've got. And that's what I put that together as a ministry and do it month by month and year by year. And it's not exactly like being on a full-time salary, which I was for 20-some years. It's a little different. It has built into it some marvelous words like hope, ambiguity, risk, and other fine words which have to do with our subject for this evening, namely creativity. And I think the two big words, the biggest idea in creativity is not how do I learn to decorate my house, but how do I know more about who I am so that I decorate my house or not. Creativity to me basically hangs on identity, has to do with who I am, and finding other ways to express or elaborating on the ways by which I express who I am, or finding more original forms for expressing who I am, or being more flexible about expressing and saying who I am, and being more curious. For instance, I would think that creativity would mean that if you were a creative person and you taught someone in a creative way, or they learned with you in a creative way, that then you would go home and say, "Mommy, Mommy, guess what I learned today? I learned today that I am flexible." Now, I think that's for instance, I would call creativity. And she'd say, "Flexible in what?" Well, he'd say, "Mathematics or science or playing with stones or anything, Mommy. I'm flexible." I think the objective then has to do with such words as, "Mommy, Mommy, I learned today that I can elaborate. That I don't only have one idea, but I can think of a whole bunch of ideas that are like it, Mommy. I can elaborate. And I don't think that the first answer is the only answer." Or, "Mommy, Mommy, guess what? I learned today that I can be original too. And I am an author of anything that I say. And I was an author of a kite today because I made a kite like nobody ever made a kite, and so I am an author of a kite. Those to me are very high level words. And mommy, I can do it with all kinds of subject matter, any of it. And I will do it all my life until someone tells me to quit it. And I say, oh, mommy, I'm very curious. And she says, well, I tried to make you quit that. But mommy, the teacher taught me that I am more curious than you even know, and lots more curious than I even thought. And so how do you get an F in curiosity or a B minus? So in the 6-7 years that I've taught courses in the seminary, everyone has gotten an A in creativity. I mean, how would you give someone a B in creativity if it has to do with who I am? Well, anyway, creativity to me then has to do with I am-ness. Theologically, I think that's very deep. Yahweh, the Hebrew word translated into English is I am. Translated into English is Lord. So that the word Lord itself carries the two words I am. It's a subject and a predicate. And I think it's great to be a subject and predicate. And the tree tonight says, you know, I never really caught that. I think the theme on the tree is, you know, what can I do, or what can we do? What can I do with her brokering? With brokering. That has at the middle of it two very important words, I do. Yeah. And that's the Yahweh part of it. What can I do? And tonight, I guess, I want both. I want to do, I want Carol to do, Greg to do, Meredith to do, I want, you know, you to do. I don't want to prevent you from, I don't want to prevent your I am from getting bigger or more elaborate or more curious or more flexible or other kinds of words like that. That is my vocabulary. I like those words. That's to me what creativity, it has to do with, not primarily with painting, has not to do with skipping, it does not have to do with dancing or playing musical instruments, etc. It has to do with those skills, but not primarily or only. Had someone in the other day we had rhythm and rhyme, I think. That was on the tree, so I was looking for rhythm instruments, and the fellow had a rope in his hand, and he was swinging, and I asked him if he would bring his rhythm instrument to 6:30, and he was very embarrassed, but he did. He did not realize that a rope is a rhythm instrument until he got a hold of one end and I the other, and already, as we did that, it had a rhythm, and he did what we do when we do that. At least he did what he did when he did that. He began to swing it. And he said one word. Whee! There's a kid who was surprised that he said the first word of this. And then I leaned. And the rope was not the real thing. The rope was really an illusion. The real thing was what happening between him and me. And I knew that, and he knew that. Only he was not as conscious of it as I was. And as I leaned into the rope with my 120 pounds, plus 80, this kid held me. And I said, give me a word. He said, war. Now he had two words. It was his poem. Wee, war. And he held me. And afterwards, in the village center that night, we talked about reality and we talked about the illusion. And this teen, this senior in high school said, I used to think that reality was only what you could see, like the rope and the skin and the chair. And now I think that reality is really much more than the skin and the rope and the chair, that reality has to do with what's going on. And that was quite a revelation for him. And it happened through this playful rhythmic instrument called a rope swinging. So when people say, you know, are you musical? Yes. Have you had many lessons? No. Not really. I can take a heartbeat and get a metronome. I can hear wind blowing in a house and I can hear a piano. Now, if they locked all that into a piano, you know, Phil Burnell can get it out of the piano. I can't, but I could help people put it in. And when I haven't got a piano around, I can hear a tidal wave, and I can hear Mexican castanets. You know, rhythms, they're not all audio either. I can see rhythms. I can see someone, and then 5 minutes later, I can see it looks like Easter, and that it was a quick Good Friday. And, you know, so I am rhythmic, and I know musical instruments, and I know rhythmic instruments. And, you know, maybe you think this is very strange, but I'm really not trying to put you down or me up. I'm really trying to say by describing myself that this is kind of a do-it-yourself thing that I'm about at 6:30. And it's very native. It's very child-like. I asked Carol to play a song, and a little trouble until I asked her to play way back some of the early songs she played. And you remember the first one you picked? I'd like to hear it. While you're enjoying Carol, enjoy yourself too. And enjoy a fleeting thought, an idea, a word that comes into your mind. Someone you know, a word, an adjective, an adverb, anything, you know. Don't worry too much about the part of speech. And don't edit them. Take your original version. Let's have a few. Single word. Pardon?
The supper.
The supper.
Communication.
Beauty.
Beauty.
Wind in the trees.
Pardon?
Wind in the trees.
Wind in the trees.
Fantasy.
Fantasy.
Dance. Relaxing.
Dancing. Relaxing. Say your word till you're sure at least 25 people have heard it. An enormous thing called the conscious and the unconscious, and when these, you know, when these go through each other, and you're playful, you get some great combinations. If you've seen the movie The Supper, and this is only one place to have, where the man has a tent, the padlock on it, Paul Keller, the fisherman, keeps singing the song. When he comes to the tent and leaves the tent. That is not as important, perhaps, for some of you because you haven't seen the movie. But when Paul was here and started the movie, Holden Is, I don't know how you feel about the movie, but I know how I feel about Paul. He took a stone and he held it and he just rolled it like a rolling ball. A rolling ball. He threw it like a rolling ball, and he said, "The movie has now begun." That's not in the film. The best part of the film never made it. That was so great. I said, "Tell me why, Paul." He said that you don't shoot anything until you've got your hands on it. And that's what he wanted to film. Rolled out the rock and said, "Now the film begins." It's like eating it. I have not seen Meredith dance, and I want her to dance. And whether I see her, how I see her dance, I do not know. But I want her to hear just a few ideas, and we've not rehearsed. We've rehearsed, but we've not done this together. I have nothing against rehearsals, but I think that sometimes, for instance, the lovely conversation that I had with Carol and the waiting for her to find this. You didn't get in on that. You got in on the song. But I got in on when she said, oh, and started to pick and find this old song in her memory. That's what I got in. I think we sometimes, even in public celebration and worship, and in educating too, we lose this recollection. Oh, the aha, as they used to say, the breakthrough. Chicken wire. Chicken wire and Job. You know the story of Job. I know the story of Job. That's why I can look at chicken wire and think of Job. Creativity doesn't mean there isn't content, data, or information. Creativity means that you've got data and you try to be more playful with it so you can store it in other ways, so it doesn't become so heavy and so boring. So you put together new combinations and you get excited. Now, Joel, if you don't tell his father and mother, but Joel Quee, Congressman Quee's son, was up in the junk pile today, and I saw him blow through some combinations of water pipes that were all rusted, as though it was an instrument. Well, now he's a French horn player or something like that, so in a sense you could say he ought to know better. But here he was making a sound, and then he looked into it and he said, you can look around corners and over. It's kind of funny. He said, if you had lenses in there. Now, if he were a discoverer, he could discover a periscope through this kind of fooling around, could he not? So he was fooling around and close to being an inventor of something, except that someone had already fooled around and got this thing, see. So, but they haven't got everything. Like a kid in Burlington, Wisconsin, I don't think that all kids in Burlington, Wisconsin know everything, but he said finally, I really think the frontier is at the edge of your mind. And that's where the frontier is now, at the edge of my mind. I know where Meredith is. I know she dances. I know the story of Job, and I know chicken wire. I know chicken wire when it's got feathers in it that have blown across it and gotten caught. And I know what blowing across, I know what wind is. I know what wind is across the farm. I know what strong wind is. I know what a hurricane is. And I know that Job's chickens blew away, his camels blew away, his farm blew away, his house, his children blew away. I know the storm that came and blew away a rich man. And all he was left with was sores and some sore-headed friends. That's all he had left. Now, how in the world can you look at chicken wire with feathers in it and think of Job? Well, I don't know. How can you think of God and a triangle at the same time? You do it by making associations, see? So I think, here's a picture that... I'm looking at the wind. You can't photograph wind, but you can photograph the thing that wind does. So I've got a windy picture here. And what I need to hear is, I need some help here. We can get some wind. And Meredith will hear the wind, and I will read a story, and we'll have everybody in this original chicken wire feather Job dance thing. The wind, the strong wind blew over the family of Job, and there was no son and no daughter left to tell of all the terror. The fields were stripped of herd and flock, and there was no estimate of the cost of the damage. Job's property was plucked, and the east wind, had no mercy. Job's property was gone, A curse cut through their council, and his friends raised havoc in his raging heart. God's man was a prisoner of war. God heard the long furor and the curious cursing chorus of his man Job. You hear the wind over this cursing man. And the storm was gone. And Job arose for his rehabilitation, and he was a gray man. He had a new creed. And for Job, life began at 80. A rich man was richer. God's man had found man's God in hell, in a hurricane. Unbelief was cast out. Tell me what you saw, what you felt. No, and what happened? I did not see Mary. Sorry.
It's too bad.
I know. It's too bad. What's happening? I'm saying that creativity, really. That what do you think that creativity is? If one sees this event and would describe it. When I ask that, I'm not saying just what it. Maybe the best thing is that you talk with three or four, because it'd be easier, and then we take about a few minutes, and I'll call a few of these in. And if you don't want to talk to somebody, and you've just, don't leave because I'm asking you to talk to somebody. Just say I want to think about it, but maybe talk to each other. And I want to talk to Meredith. I missed it. I need to ask her how she was. That's the only way you can have a fire here. Holding Billy.
Hello down there, you woke me up.
I'm sorry, Dale. I didn't know it was up. Meredith said something so beautiful that I'd like to ever share. She said about the dancing elsewhere and how she dances. I don't know how Carol gets his faculty, but I don't think that Carol's ever had anyone here who dances to her heartbeat, and other famous people like that. That's one of the great things about the village, is that the villagers are with each other long enough, and in some supportive way and creative form, they say strange things like, I exercise and then I dance to my heartbeat. That's... Now, I'm not going to try that, because that exercise bit, I asked her if she got her pulse, and she said no, she could hear it, and that worried me, so I... Yes? Okay, why don't you all help me? Being, okay? I like that. I'll pardon? I would say that creativity could see ultimately, if this is what you're looking for, that this is by the power of the Holy Spirit that we're talking about as a Christian community. No, I think that man can elaborate and be curious. I think this is exactly how God made us, and I thank him for that. I think that people can do that and not thank him. Yeah.
Do you believe that man can get carried away and be obedient to God? I mean, get carried away with, say, his own ideas, which I would say would be trying to be creative in yourself.
To be, I suppose one could or couldn't.
Can I say?
Yeah, sure.
I think that on that line, it's, and if it's truly obedient to God, then it's imperative that we have a genuine communication with this deep self that he's talking about, that maybe ideas, but ideas are conscious, and there's a lot more to the soul than just the conscious, and so we have to get in touch with our soul.
And that means the world around us, and it means all the, those whose territory invades ours. Your hand was up. No? Someone? Okay. What did you talk about that would add to the definition of creativity?
It's spontaneous.
All right.
And it doesn't follow any kind of a rut.
Okay.
Get out of the way.
Okay.
It's originality. Nothing or very little.
To create.
Often the very simple, the overlooked, is the thing I find up here that is picked up and is creative.
I would say for one of the things about in a Christian community or any community is it builds memory.
Open. I'm free to be the wind.
Why not?
Worrying. Open.
Interaction.
Okay.
If we allow each other to be, we will become.
Okay.
Also discovering, because God's put it all here, that it's a matter of finding it.
And giving it back to us.
And giving it back.
Being original.
Okay.
Changing
being,
habits.
Pardon?
Changing habits.
Changing habits.
Being an old thing in a new way.
All right. That blew the minds of some of the people in Jesus' day. They saw a thing as it was, and he saw it and said, "Now I want you to think of the kingdom of God." And they said, "Wait a minute. Seeing an old thing in a new way, or a new thing in an old way." Someone last week said it means to have compassion. To have so much compassion for person and for nature that you can be it. There are studies that are done on analogous thinking, and analogous thinking has to do with something is like. That's a low level of analogous thinking. A higher level is I am like, and the highest level, and Jesus used it a lot, and it was an offense, I am. And that's compassion. And that from that people flee, and a lot of that gets turned into poetry. And if it stays locked in page 86 and 7, or in some chicken wire, you know, then that is a tragedy in poetic form, in good print, glossy.
To be able to become a drop of water, for instance, as it travels through a tree, that, you know, up in the sky and comes down the ground, be able to really identify with not just creatures, but just creation.
Why would you want to identify with anything but your own role as a child of God?
Well,
that's insanity.
I just feel like I care more about what's going on in nature around me if I can really put myself into it. I seem to care more about creatures if I can feel like that creature does.
I had an experience this summer where I was hiking by myself, and I was getting to a point where I was getting to worry about things. You know, and I was looking around and I saw some flowers, and then the verse came in about the flowers and how the flowers of the field with how they don't toil and stuff. And then I saw myself as a flower. And, you know, like they don't have to worry, and so like I didn't have to be anxious. You know, I saw myself as that flower, and it just really helped me. So I don't think it's insane for me.
I think it can change your life when you can do that.
And you mean throw your person into another object.
Jesus was insane enough to call people salt. You are the salt.
The more expressive we can be, the better we can communicate.
Yes, but he didn't mean that we were sodium chloride. He meant that we had a spice.
Is that what he meant?
Yes, he didn't say that.
Okay.
Isn't that what he meant?
Well, I guess he raised a question when he said that. For me, he did. There are books written on what that salt means. Yeah, right.
But is there only one meaning to anything?
Pardon?
Is there only one meaning to anything?
Why, that's what, yeah. That's kind
in
of one of the...
In the Old Testament, it says, you know, and God gave man dominion over all of these things.
That's kind of what I thought we were doing. I was riding herd on this wind. I was in it. I was enjoying it. I didn't let it blow me away. Here I am. And I didn't let it throw me off. I let it take me more deeply into the Job story and the hurricane.
Hasn't that the Old Testament idea of man's dominion over the earth and all that is in it? Also, when we are separated ourselves completely from it, God created the situation where we are now, where we sort of bowed our neck. And had we identified a little more with this nature that we have dominion over, we probably wouldn't have bowed our neck.
It's true, because we have the power to destroy. They're really helpless.
Yeah, he gave us his dominion before Eve said that's not the good looking apple. I think I'll think, hey, wow, this is really great. Would you like some? and then we God didn't take away our dominion at all.
When you say creativity, that seems to me to be self in the self, and not God, not worshiping God. It seems to me to be a kind of self-worship.
It's an expression of what God has given us.
And it can be an experience that can deepen your love for God's creation.
It seems to me we have the creation here to elaborate on.
Yes, but that isn't being created.
Well, I'd like to have you imagine. I'd like to have you imagine. You know. Just when I ask what. Yeah. I'd like to have you through an illusion, because I have none here. I'd like to have you create a lamb. Everyone in her or his imagination, I'd like to have you create a lamb. Okay? Now, I could say, I'd like to have you think of a lamb without any music. I don't know if music is a problem to you or a possibility, but. I asked Carol, but I say that because by adding the dimension of the music, I don't mean to influence your imagination of a lamb. That there's content here I want to add in a little while. I could add it on a blackboard, but I'm gonna add it off of this board. Okay, this is older than the blackboard, the strings. It's like David. Hi, David. Okay, an illusion, an imaginary lamb. I want you to, it's a good lamb, and I want you to like it. I want you to like it so very, very much that it doesn't stay anonymous and you give it a name. I want you to take it into your home, and if you can't take it into your home, then be a child and you'll get it in. But get it into your home. Like this lamb. I saw a shake of a head, and I know, you know, it's hard for us when we're over 20 or 30 or 40 to even imagine the loving a lamb. But I'm taking you into something very deep. Biblical, because I consider myself a biblical man, and I'm taking you into a biblical event. You've got the lamb in your own home. You've named it, and you love it. You play with it. The family watches it. It does cute things, but it does ordinary things that lambs do. It's not extraordinary, except it's your lamb, and you keep it for 3 days, and then Dad says, about 4 in the afternoon, now's the time, and you plunge a knife into it. Keep going on this day. It's the beginning of, that's the beginning of the Agnus Dei. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy upon us and give us your peace. The Agnus Dei has its roots in that kind of deep tragedy. Now, to sing Agnus Dei on page 76 quickly, I don't know how we can experience the deep compassion part of the Agnus Dei. But the Agnus Dei had that deep feeling in Jewish history. And that is what they did with the Passover lamb. They named it, they held it for 3 days. It was their pet. And when it was their pet, then it was their sacrifice. Now you see, in the language of the biblical man, they dealt with concepts in a whole event form. In other words, they actually lived with their sacrifice. And they gave it as though it was, you know, their own brother. Biblical history is full of whole language like that, that involved the senses. You ask the average Lutheran what he thinks of the Agnus Dei. And he'd say, well, I'd like to skip it if possible in communion because it only lengthens it. But the Agnus Dei has just, that's only part of it, has this enormous amount of sensitivity to it. And how can we get back into our pre-verbal and pre-symbolic and real language? I don't know. Yeah, I do know. I do know. It's the incarnate way. That's what incarnation means to me, that the Word became flesh, and he says, take on the language of your time and find out the meaning of your world. Like Kent Knutson says, if you want to know what Word of God really means, it means to word your world. And on your tractors, bring meaning to your world. Huh? With all your senses, and when you do that, you're doing it, your whole soul is involved in wording the world. And word is not just at some high symbol level, pages 100 through 80, 186. But word means you. That's how God trusts his word. You bringing meaning to a world of war and a world of conflict and a world of harvest and a world of drought. You bring meaning to that. You are the biblical people. And the saints do go marching on. Now, that kind of reality. It's hard for me to become that kind of person and cut off half my senses. You know, I've got to practice this compassion for lambs and for life in order to know an Agnus Dei and to love it. I've got to have some compassion for poor to enjoy my communion bread. I've got to have some taste, some good tasty bread to enjoy festival and celebration. So I like all my senses to be involved in my faith language. And that's my rationale. That's my rationale for creativity, you know, in the church. It means wholeness. Wholeness. Does not exclude saying the words, but the words are said in context. In context. What do you think? Dad's dad? Are you David's dad?
Yes.
Okay. Pardon?
Just thinking.
Okay.
Where's your faith?
Okay.
Where's your faith along these lines? God created the heavens and the earth, right?
Yes.
Since then, man has kind of made a mess out of things.
Right.
If it wasn't for your faith, where would all this be? Where would we be now?
Well, I guess I think that this is faith
language.
I think this is faith language.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. For instance, when Dave the other night was making his sculpture in wood, he was doing his work.
He's creating that.
Right, under God. And worship means to do your thing under God while he watches. And not to take time off and worship and then come back and do your other thing, but it means to do everything under him. And I said to Dave, you know, you kept chipping right through prayer. He said, I thought about it. That is my prayer. That's my prayer life too. It's the words and my work are under him. And my feelings are under him. My needs are under him. The wholeness, not an occasional language.
Wrong, but I'm just thinking of their national concept or present all the way down.
Yeah.
We've been going through. Our faith has been strained considerably. Yeah.
I would say the language of the church then is like the general prayer. In the general prayer, what it does, it lays it all out. Every paragraph lays out another level under him and says, look, Lord, we don't want to hide anything, so we'll put it in a seventh paragraph. And if we need an eighth, we'll put an eighth in next year. And the general prayer of the church really exposes it all, just lays it out there, every level. Even the Kyrie, Lord have mercy. You read that Kyrie, Lord have mercy on, wow, the line is long. And finally, it's the whole universe. And then finally, it's the whole world. And then it's the whole church. And it's this house. It's just as though you were going, you know, doing a dissecting job, and the Kyrie is, Lord, be Lord and have mercy over all that, and all that, and all that, and how about here? That's faith language to me. Pardon?
Mine too.
Yeah.
That's
true. Yes.
Sir?
Yes. In what kind of form?
Form.
Yeah.
Isn't that creative? Isn't that what you're doing? Is that you're bringing the thought form into contemporary?
Well, Christ helps me come cycle back through and fulfill the Old Testament. I find its full meaning. Not to dump it, to find these full thought forms, yes.
Yeah, to understand the Old Testament.
Oh. Absolutely. To always be on location, to always be in the Word, to always be in His world, always.
You know, let's say something.
Yeah, sure.
It's a little bit of a waste to have to straighten it physical, but, you know, then, I don't know, David, but his father said that, you know, this name, by the way, the world is going, losing his faith a little. It's a very, very sad to hear. It is true that things look bad now, but if you think back to the 14th century, which is looking back again, like back in the Old Testament, it was a terrible time in Europe, a time of plagues and sickness. In fact, the Black Death alone killed more than a third of people, and everything went just so terribly bad. But on top of that, the Renaissance came. And I truly think and believe that out of this, there will be beauty and more growth and better understanding of people. So don't lose your faith because things are bad right now.
Thanks.
All right. It's nice. A quick description of bread. And then I, because a friend of mine is here from St. Louis, I want to read something from Breakout, which I did at Holden up 4 years ago. Luther took dark bread because they didn't have white bread. Roland Bainton, who invented Martin Luther, said, you Lutherans would be surprised. You know, he had dark bread and didn't have flat wafers. And he said, if you really want to be a Lutheran, get black bread. And he said they had black bread. And he said when Luther broke it, well, he didn't only say, you and I know that. What did he see? He saw it in his neighbor. He saw in this bread his government. He saw his courthouse. He saw harvest fields. He saw factories. Read the fourth petition and the interpretation by Martin Luther. He had this full picture. And he could break a piece of bread, and he could see everything. He could see the poverty program in it. He could see the laws being passed. He could see justice, injustice. He was not just seeing a favorite courthouse, you know, in Strasbourg, but he was seeing government in breaking of bread. He saw justice in it. And he had this capacity to go through the micro into the macro. He was a regular Alice in Wonderland guy. That's the language. That's a language of faith too. And I'm not saying it's the only way, but that is a language of faith. And I would say that's a very imaginative, creative, large way to see wholeness in particulars. Now, when Frida, wave your hand. Frida Dirks was here a few years ago. I didn't know her until I met her. You know, really met her. And said things like, what do you do? And she said, I program music in a hospital, and I don't know if it was, I think a psychiatric hospital for lots of people, including, and many of them being shell-shocked, coming from war, and they lost their last word. Well, I wanted to get into that because with compassion. I wanted to have some feeling, not only for her, but for them, not knowing them. How do you do that? I took the big trip. For me, it's the language of faith. I imagine myself in their life having fired a bullet, having been fired by a bullet, and the whole sound of it. And so actually I thought of a whirling kind of writing. I thought of a vocabulary that spun itself to death, and the only way to get the next word was somehow for Frida to help them, or somebody help them, in Christ's name, to find the last word that they lost so that they could hook up and keep going. And the word that I had them imagine, or that I imagined that they were looking, was the last word, whatever that word was, so they could get on with the next word, because vocabulary doesn't skip. Life is continuous. And so I wrote this, and I'm going to ask, you to do this, Meredith. And this won't be easy to do for you or me, and maybe it'll be harder for you to hear. And every time I come to the word fire, I'm not going to say it out loud. I'm going to say it as though I cannot say it. I'm going to go, and the reason I do that is that last week someone said, why do you yell fire? Why do you have us all shout fire when that was a word they couldn't find? Why don't you have fire be the hidden word, the word that they're looking for? And so I'm going to say it in a non-word form. They were beginning to read and to remember the men in the new book, the round book beginning in the center. The first word was in the center. They knew the word once. Everyone knows it. The word was a heavy word, a loud word. It fell on the page with a burst. It rips at the center. It begins things. It is the beginning for the men. It catches their eyes and their ears. It falls on the page like a pebble in water, like a stone, like a rock, and the words ripple from it. They circle it, silent words, dim words, invisible words, waves and waves and waves of words. a circumference of words and phrases, circling, spiraling sentences of words, enclosing the word, opening it up, closing it, rounds of words like rounds of ammunition, spirals of words like bullets spitting, tumbling over one another, chasing one another, smashing, 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 and finding their meaning in the first word. Carrying the force of this first word, enlarging it, ripping it, wide opening, doubling it, tripling it, multiplying it, on a round page looking like geometry, like a compass gone wild, a bullet gone wild, like a word in orbit whirling. Men are whirling with whirling words, men on the merry-go-round, unwinding, unwinding as in a whirlwind, unwindings, spiraling their way back, creating a circle of words, their frightful words, their own rounds and rounds of words and curved categories. The round page is now full. It opens up their minds, their memories, their tongues, locked now for 2 days since their word ripped the night air and sent their whole vocabulary into a spin. Like a yo-yo, they spun to the end until this third day now. They had hit the end out, and they are returning to the word, through their word, to the one word they all know, which is the one word to bring these men back, dazed for days, the word their last word. And it is the first word on the page, in the center of the page. The page looks like a target page. They are approaching the center in this third day, and they are remembering their final word. They are reading their way back in the center of the page to the beginning, and they are so sick, oh Lord, they are so sick, sick deep in their mind, who wait for Frida to come and heal and to speak and to be sent in your name. It may be a little more meaningful to get compassionate about people who are shell-shocked and Frida's than to be compassionate about chicken feathers and Job. It may well be. And sometime talk to Frida. She'll tell you, she'll tell you how she walks. Just the closing comment, where do you walk, Frida? In order to, where did you used to walk to know how to program the music? From where to where? In the morning? Why? Why? She said, I always could read the mood, so I walked through the halls and then I programmed for the day. She read the language need and then she got the radios ready to program their music to help them in His name. That's compassion. And that whole day, I would say, is her language of faith. And it's her work under Him. That's worship. I'll see you over there and around the village and in the sauna.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Sorry, Greg. Yeah. We'll get you and you'll get us.